We're holding on Paites Amr Aleph, the second, third line. The Mishnah had started talking about the dinim of honest weights and measures, which we know the Torah warns in a couple of places to be careful about that. Most recently, we had it at the end of Parshas Kisetze. So the Mishnah had mentioned that one thing the Mishnah had mentioned is that you're required to give the customer a little extra. We said we learn it from the pasuk that says Evan Shlema Vatzedek Yaloch, where the word Vatzedek means that you have to give him tzedek mishal chavatenloi. You have to be just, you have to be righteous, and give him a little extra. So we said there's two ways. So the Mishnah had described that there's two ways that people would do that. They would measure, they would weigh out things in those days in balance scales. So one way would be to have the side of the scale that has the merchandise balanced such that it would, to have it tilted such that it's a tefach lower than the other one. So you have somebody comes in to ask for a pound of meat, for example, you would weigh him out a pound. You'd put meat on one side of the scale and put a pound weight on the other. And then, so one way of doing it was you'd put a little extra in the on the side with the meat until it would be a tefach lower than the other one, and that way you're sure that you're giving him over a pound. The other way that in some places they would do is no, they would look at the scales and see whether they look balanced, and then afterwards what they would do is they would add what the Mishnah called gerumin. They would add a little extra to they would add a little extra compensation. And the Mishnah had said for liquids that asked it for the way the Gemara had explained it, for liquids that amount is 1% extra, 1/100th. For solids, we had two different ways of learning it in the Gemara, whether it's 1/200th or 1/400th. And the Gemara had left it teku, which one it actually means. So in practice, the poskim say it means that you're only required to give 1/400th, but midas chassidus would be to give 1/200th. Anyway, so now the Gemara is going to bring a bunch of braises that are going to explain different aspects of this whole matter of all these dinim of weights and measures. So the Gemara says for the Mishnah had said mokum. Now the Mishnah had also said another point like this. Well, two other points. First of all, you have places where the local minhag is to use smaller measures and to measure with that. So you have, for example, a kav versus a sa, where there are four kavim to the sa. Check that, six kavim to the sa. So there are places where the local minhag was that you measure out grain or whatever it is by the kav. So in such a place, you can't say instead I'm going to measure out for you in a with a sa, because what you have is, given that again every time you're supposed to give him a little bit extra, then if you give it to him one the whole sa at a time, and you're only doing one hachra, where you're tilting the scale, you're only doing it one time, and therefore the buyer is losing out because you're not giving him all those extra amounts that you would give him if you weighed every calf individually, and vice versa. If it's a place where they use a sa measure, then the customer can't say, "I demand that you give me in calf measures," because then he's getting too much. So basically, I call kaminig amadina. And the Mishnah had said another point as well. Which again, we're going to take up all these points in the Gemara here in a little more detail. There were places also where within the measure of a calf or a saw itself, there's two ways of measuring it. You can have a heaped measure or you can have a flattened out measure. So you can have that, you can have, for example, that a calf, the local definition of a calf is it's measured in such a way by, let's say, by we're talking about with flour or other things like that that can produce a heap in the keli. So you'd have places where the local minhag was, we determine a kav, it's the amount including the heap. So the keli itself, if you were to flatten it out, holds less than a kav. The way that we do in this place is when we sell a kav, is it means the amount that fits in the keli plus the amount that heaps up on top is altogether equal to a kav. And then we have places where they wouldn't do that, where instead they would pour it into the keli and then they'd flatten out the heap on top of the keli, and that would be, so either way, in other words, it comes out, you're still selling the same amount, but the keli in one place would be smaller than the other, and therefore would have to include the heap, and in another place not. Rashbam mentions that based on other Gemaras, that the extra amount you'd get from the heap to mount on top would be 1/3 of the total. Obviously, that's really going to depend on the size and shape. Obviously, that's really going to depend on the shape of the keli, but there are certain kelim, depending on the proportions of them, where, yeah, you will get that. The Gemara elsewhere brings based on psukim. So in other words, you would have places where, let's say, where the keli that is supposed to hold a kav really by itself holds only two-thirds of a kav. And then when you pour into it and the heap on top, then there's your extra third, whereas you have places where to begin with the keli was made to hold an entire kav by itself until the rim. So the Mishnah had said, again, that if you have a place where they do it one way, you can't decide on your own that you can do it the other way, even if you're going to adjust the price accordingly. And the Gemara here is going to explain why. So Mokam Shinamud Nagu Lomud Bagasa Chula. So the Mishnah had described in places where the local minhag is to measure with large measures, then you can't instead decide that you're going to start selling with small measures, and vice versa. So a simon for the various braises that the Gemara is going to bring over here in Ma'ainin ve'in Gurchin by Gaudiman of Elitra Shlosha ve'esa Nefesh Mishkolos Mimachek Ova Loisasu Loyasa. Each of these is a key word or two words from the beginning of a braise that the Gemara is going to bring. So the first one, Tanan Abanim, Minayin She'en Mochkin B'mokim She'Goydshin. How do we know if it's a place where the local minhag is that you're going to sell a heaped measure? And let's say, for example, again, that to, let's say as far as a calf, that the container itself would hold only two-thirds or whatever of a calf, and you're going to heap it up, and now there's your extra third, and there's the complete calf. How do we know She'en Mochkin B'mokim She'Goydshin? In such a place, you're not allowed to say, instead, you know what, I'm going to sell you a flattened out measure, and I'll reduce the price. So even let's say that Ashbam says, even if the buyer is willing to be Mochel, and vice versa, if it's a place where they flatten it out, then you're not allowed to heap it up, and you're not allowed to heep it up again, even if you the seller are willing to be moichel The problem with that is because then other people are going to see that, and they're going to think that that is the local minhag. So here you made up one on one with the customer that we're going to do it this way. That you're going to do it this way, but the problem is future potential customers are going to see that. They're going to think that that's how it's done in this town, and then somebody is going to end up getting cheated. Obviously the Rashbam says we can't be talking about where neither one was moichel, because then of course that's gezel, that's plain gezel. So we have to be talking about they are willing to be moichel, but nevertheless there's a concern about what other people may see, and they may misunderstand what happens over here. So how do we know that? Tananabon, Eifa Shlema, because the Pasuk says a complete Eifa, so the Eifa itself has to be complete in such a way that there's no possibility of cheating, that somebody else might end up getting cheated later on. What about if it's not even a matter of mechila? What about you're going to say, fine, this is in our local place over here, we sell in heaps measures. I personally am going to sell in flattened measures, and I'll charge less. Or the other way around, in a place where they flatten it, I plan to sell in heaped measures, and I'll charge them extra. Or the buyer rather will say, I'm going to ask for a heaped measure all the time, and I'll tell the storekeeper I'll pay extra. How do we know she'en shomin lo? Even then, we don't listen to him. Even then, we don't allow it. So not only in the first case, where it's a matter of mechila, where he's going to charge the regular price, and the other one is just, or pay the regular price, and the other one is going to be moichel, but even in a case where they're going to adjust the price accordingly, Tamad Lema, Evan Shlema Vatzedek, Yaloch, Eifa Shlema Vatzedek, Yaloch. Therefore, here, the Pasuk adds, not only Eifa Shlema, it adds the word Vatzedek, which means that comes to add, no matter what, it has to be tzedek, because again, it can come to cheating, because somebody else may see that they're measuring that way and think that that's the local minhag, and he's not going to realize, and there's going to end up being fraud as time goes on. So whatever it is, you have to stick to the minhag medina in terms of heaping or flattening out. Obviously, if you yourself travel to another country and they do things differently, then you're going to have to ask before you start buying what the local minhag is and make sure that you adjust your expectations to that. Okay. Tanan Abanan, then we learn in a braisa. Minayin she'en ma'ayin in makam shemachriyin. How do we know that again, now you have the two ways of adjusting the amount that you're selling by weight, where either you're making the scale tilt a little bit toward tefach, towards the side that has the goods, or you're giving him gerumin afterwards. So the same thing, turn it on button. Minayin shein ma'ainin b'makom shemachriyin, in a place where the minhag is to be machriya, to make the scale tilt, you're not allowed to say instead ma'ainin, I will make sure that instead that the scale will be exactly evenly balanced, and I'll add him after, and I'll add him the gerumin afterwards. V'ein machriyin b'makom shemachriyin, and vice versa, if it's a place where they sell with the scale being exactly balanced and add the gerumin afterwards, you're not allowed to say, instead, I'll tilt the scale. Same thing, turn it up on an Evan Shlema. The pasuk says you have to have a complete stone, meaning the stones are the weights that you use. And the point is, in other words, that again, you have to have that that you're doing it in a way, not only that it'll be honest as far as this particular business deal, but also that it should be honest for the future, that you shouldn't mislead people who are visiting town and make them, and they're going to think that this is the local minhag. Talmud Lema, Evan Shlema, Uminayin Shem, Omahayim, Ayin, Makam Shemachriyin, the Lifchis Lemin Adamim. Now, again, you could have not only a person would say, I'll do that and I'll be Moichel, or I'll arrange for him to be Moichel, but you might even have, fine, I'm going to do it differently than the local minhag, the Lifchis Lemin Adamim, and I'll deduct him the appropriate amount. I will say that here it's a place where Machriyin, and it's supposed to be a Tefach lower, and therefore, instead, I'm going to be my ayin, and I'm going to make it exactly even, exactly balanced, and I'll give him his gerumin, or even I won't give him, but I'll charge him less. Or vice versa, this is a place where ma'ainin and we give a little extra afterwards, and instead I'm going to do the tefach tilting and I'm going to charge him, and I'm going to charge him a little more, or the customer says I'm going to pay him a little more. Even then we don't listen to him. Therefore the pasuk says you have to have a complete and tzedek stone, where again the stones are used for weighing. There's stone weights, and again, the idea is the same thing. You have to make sure not only that it's shlema, not only that you're giving the full amount that's expected to in this place, but also without depending on mechila, but also that it's tzedek, also that's just as far as other people who are visiting town who may otherwise be misled. In other words, the point is, because the pasuk says these words twice, it says eifa shlema, it says even shlema v'tzedek v'yaloch, eifa shlema v'tzedek v'yaloch. So we learn all these dinim, that both when it comes to measuring out an eifas, where you usually pour into the container and you have a heap or don't, as the case may be, or when it comes to Evan, which is weighing commodities, and again, you're doing one or the other. Either you're causing the scale to tilt, or you're adding the gerumen afterwards. Either way, you have to do shlema. You have to do the complete thing that's done locally, and it has to be vatzedek in such a way, even if you're going to adjust the price accordingly, that it shouldn't mislead other people who are coming to town. Okay. Next, Tanan Abanan, when the pasuk says lo yilcha. Omer of Yehuda Misura. So now Rav Yehuda Misura says, here's another drasha that we can learn from those psukim. This one Rashi brings on the psukim. When it says, lo yilcha b'veischa, when it says there shall not be in your when it says there shall not be in your house, matam, why is that? In other words, when it says lo yilcha, we're doushing, it doesn't just mean you shouldn't have. The pasuk is also saying you won't have. Because Rashbam points out that after all, it says lo yilcha twice. Again, it says lo yilcha in connection with the Evan and in the and the Eifa. So we can darshan lo yilcha b'veischa means matam mishum Eifa v'Eifa. What does it mean when the pasuk says you shall not have in your house? Doesn't just mean you should not have; it means you will not have money in your house. Matam. Why would that happen? Mishum Eifa v'Eifa. If a person has two different sizes of measures, which are both supposed to be an Eifa, and one is smaller than the other, and for example, he's going to sell with the smaller one, and he's going to buy with the bigger one, and that way cheat the he's going to cheat the customers or the vendors, then he's going to end up having no money in his house. Hashem is going to take away his money. Similarly, when it says lo yilcha b'kischa, you will not have in your pocket. Again, the simple meaning means you should not have available to you, even for even, two different size weights that are both supposed to be the same size, but it also means lo yilcha b'kischa, you will not have money in your pocket. Matam, why mishum even for even? Because you have two different size stone weights, which are supposed to both be the same weight, and here they're actually one is larger and one is smaller, and you're using them to cheat people. Aval, but the pasuk continues. Efer Evan Shlema Vatzedek Yialoch. Efer Shlema Vatzedek Yialoch. But the pasuk continues and it mentions Yialoch in connection with the honest measures and the honest weights, because the word yiloch also, again, in simple meaning, it means you shall have, but it also means you will have, that if you treat your customers and your vendors honestly, then you will have, Hashem will give you money. So that's another drasha. In other words, that the pasuk is not just telling us the dinim of what to do, but when what not to do, the pasuk is also implying the consequences, pro and con, of doing these things. Okay. Next, Tanan Abanan, when the pasuk says lo yilacha, when the pasuk says you should not have dishonest weights and measures, or on the other hand, the pasuk says yilacha, that you should have honest weights and measures. So there's another din we learn from that as well. Melamed shemamidin agardim in lamidus. This teaches us that Beistin is responsible to appoint officials who are in charge of measures. Agardimin, it comes from a Greek word that means people who are in charge of the market. So their job is to go around to the various stores and stalls and whatever, and make sure that all the measures are exact and none of them are underweight or whatever. Underweight or overweight or whatever. The Yad Ramah, in fact, adds that many times what they would do is they would have an official stamp with them, and when they find that a weight is the proper size, then they would put their official stamp on it. They would also have the right to punish people if they have improper weights. So you have to have, so Beistin has to set up people who are in charge of enforcing that kind of thing. The Ein Ma'amid and Agadim and L'Sha'arim, however, the Braisa continues, Beistin is not responsible to appoint market officials as far as prices. In other words, sometimes you might have, there are price controls you might have that they have to, they're going to say you can't sell such and such for more than a certain price. We're going to talk about such a dinim later on Daf Tzadik, Tzadik Aleph. We're going to talk about details about that. But here the Braisa is saying we don't have to set up a gardemin to look into those things because it's not really necessary. If somebody's going to start raising his prices, then he's going to lose his customers. And then market forces are going to force him to get the prices back down to what to close to what everybody else is paying. So there's no need for a gardemin for that. But when it comes to measures and weights, where he might go and try to cut corners, then therefore you need a gardemin to look up to check up on that. So the Gemara tells, Dvei Nesia Oikmu a gardemin bein lamidus bein l'sha'arim. The household of the Nasi. The household of the Nasi were setting up, Pashtos, this could mean the Nasi, it could mean the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael, it could mean the Resh Galusa in Bavel, since you have a story over here involving Karna, involving the Amora Karna, who lived in Bavel, then Pashtos, this Nasi means over here the Resh Galusa in Bavel. But anyway, they were setting up a Gardamin Bein Lamidus Bein Lasharim. They were ignoring this Braisa, and they were setting up a Gardamin. They were setting up officials to enforce both as far as honest weights and measures, and to enforce prices. Amalei Shmuel Kauna. So Shmuel tells Kauna, don't let them do that. Puk Tani Lahu, go teach them the Braisa that we just said. Ma'amin and Agadim and Lamidus, Vein Ma'amin and Agadim and Lasharim. There's no need for them to set up officials to enforce that people should sell at a certain price. So Kauna, go tell them that. Nofak Vidorish Lahu. Well, Kauna went and Nofak Dorish Lahu. Kauna went and darshan to them. Ma'amin and Agardimin Bein Lamidus Bein Lasharim. He went and darshan them that no, you do have Agardimin both for measures and for prices. So afterwards, when Shmuel found out what Kauna had done, Amalei Mashimcha, he says, what's your name? Now, of course, he knows his name, but he meant, in other words, that he's going to tell him something. He's going to curse him with something appropriate to his name. Amalei Kauna, so Mashimcha, he says, Kauna. So Shmuel says, typically, Kauna b'ene, a Kauna should come out in your eye. A Kauna literally means a horn. So it means, in other words, like a growth of flesh or something that would go in his eye. In other words, Shmuel is saying, for disobeying what are the instructions that I told you, and then disobeying the Braisa, you deserve to have that punishment, and it's appropriate to your name because your name is Karna. Now, actually, here we have on these couple of blots over here until the end of this Amud, there's the regular Pirush Rashbam that's printed on the side of the Gemara as usual, and then we have Pirush Rashbam Ha'ikri,
That's printed, actually, if you have it, it's a little further as well. We have on Ahmed Bey's as well. Anyway, we have also Pirush Rashbam HaIkri, which is the apparently more the original Pirush of Rashbam. So he says that Pirush Rashbam HaIkri says the words Nafak like Karna Be'ene don't belong here in the Gemara. In fact, it didn't happen that. So Shmuel was upset with him, but there were no consequences for it. On the other hand, the regular Pirush Rashbam that we have printed by the side of the Gemara says, does have those words in the Gemara. And he says, now in Masechta Shabbos, it mentions that Rav had told the same thing to him on a different occasion because of something else that Kauna had done. So the Rashbam says, evidently it was both. Both things were Gurim, the fact that Rav had told him this for something that Kauna had done wrong, and the fact that Shmuel had told him between the two of them, it actually happened. So you have a Macholikus between two different versions of the Rashbam's Pirush, whether it happened or not. According to those who say so according to one version of the Rashbam, it didn't actually happen. He didn't actually get punished, but according to the other version, it did. Well, the question is, Kauna was, after all, a great Talmud Chacham. So the Ihu Kaman Sova. Well, who was Kauna holding like? He didn't stam disobey Shmuel for no reason. And the answer is Kihod Omar Rami Bachoma, Omar Abitzchak, Mamin Nagardamin, Main Lamidas, Main Lashorim, Bipnei Haramoyin, that Rami Bachoma tells us in the name of Rabitzchak that you do in fact set up a Gardamin both for Midas and for prices, Bipnei Haramoyin. Because there are swindlers, because what you're going to have is you might have, there's somebody right now who's selling cheaply. And what they're going to do is they're going to wait until he finishes selling, and then they're going to go jack up their prices. Or the Rashbam says another possibility is that you might have people who sell at a higher price than normal, and they're going to say, well, we're giving you extra, or we're giving you better quality wheat, or whatever, or any kind of way of cheating like that. So therefore, so you need a gardamin to enforce this kind of thing. So Kauna held like that. In fact, that fits better with Pirush Rashbam HaIkri, that Kauna was not punished for disobeying Shmuel because he had a solid basis for what he did. He didn't stand disobey Shmuel. Next, Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, the next din, as far as weights and measures. Hoyim avakash menu litra. Suppose that a customer comes to the store and wants to buy a litra, which is approximately a pound, of meat, let's say. Shokaloi litra. So you weigh out for him a litra. And what you do is, in other words, you have a weight that says on it, it's 1 litra, and you put that weight on one side of the scale, you put the meat or fruit or whatever it is that he's buying on the other side, and you weigh it, and you do, as we said, earlier, one of two ways, either hachra, which is afterwards you add a little extra on the side with the meat or the fruit or whatever to make it go down a tefach, or you add girumin after the fact. Similarly, chatzi litra, the guy comes and asks for a half litra, shekel chatzi litra, then you weigh out for him half a litra, reveal litra, shekel reveal litra. Well, the Gemara says, my kamash malon, of course, whatever the customer wants is the amount you give him. And the answer is, what the Braisa wants you to know is the maskinin and maskili ad hochi. The point is, those are the smallest we go as far as weights. You only go down to a quarter of a litra and no smaller, because any smaller than that, it may be difficult to be able to tell the difference between one fraction of a litra and another. You're talking about very small weights at that point, and therefore he might cheat the customer. Now, what do you do if you want to? So the Rashbam says, you don't make a third of a litra or a fifth of a litra or whatever, you make dafka, these fractions, a whole, a half and a quarter, and that way there's no chance of confusing one with the other deliberately or accidentally. Now, if you need less than that, then the Rashbam goes on to say, what you'll do is you'll weigh them against coins, because coins have a more or less a known weight, and therefore so you can weigh smaller amounts with coins on one side of the scale and the merchandise on the other. So the Braisa continues, Tana Rabbanan, Hayim Avakash Menu Shloisha Rivi Litra. What happens if the customer wants 3/4 of a litra? Now, you don't have a 3/4 litra measure, we said, a 3/4 litra weight. So what do you do? First of all, now the customer can't say that, weigh out for me each quarter of a litra at a time. Because then the seller is going to lose out. Because again, every time he needs to give a little extra, and therefore, so he's going to end up giving three times a little extra. So instead, el shekel, el shekel litra, umaniach l'rvi'a litra m'abasar. Now, how do we do it? Since you don't have a three-quarter litra measure, instead, what you do is you put on one side of the scale, you put the litra measure. Instead, what you do is you put the so you put the litra measure on one side, umaniach l'rvi'a litra m'abasar. Then on the other side of the scale, you put the meat, and together with it, you put the quarter litra measure. And that way you're measuring out, that way you're weighing out the whole three quarters of a litra all at once. So actually, the Rashbam gives two explanations of what would be the problem to do it individually. So first of all, the Rashbam says one reason would be because it's going to be impossible to actually measure so precisely. So he's going to end up losing out a little bit. But then some say, actually, the Rashbam brings that some say the problem is the hachrois, like I was just saying, the problem that you have to give him a little extra every time. But no, because then you could all your the amount you give him in aggregate with the three quarters together is going to be equal to if you give him individually, you're going to give him a separate hechra for each one. It's all going to come out the same thing. But nevertheless, and after all, you're weighing out only a quarter of a litra, so you're not really doing much of a hechra anyway. You're not doing a full tefach down because that would be way too much to give to the customer, and you're losing out way too much. So you would anyway do ayin by ayin. You'd anyway do looking at the scale and seeing whether it's balanced. But so whatever you're going to give him extra, you're going to give him extra that whatever gerumin or whatever you're going to give him is going to be is extra is going to be the same amount whether given that it's 1/200th or 1/400th like the Gemara had said previously, it's going to be the same amount whether you do it individually per quarter litra or for all three quarters together. So no, the Rashbam explains the problem is just in practice, it's going to be very difficult to get the weight exactly right if you do a quarter each time, and therefore you, the seller, are going to end up losing out, and therefore so the customer can't demand that. You can tell them that, no, I'm going to weigh you out the three quarters all at one time. Now the Rambam has yet another explanation of this din about the three quarters of a litra. The problem is that if you measure the problem is that if you measure the that if you do that, if you measure the litra on one side and the quarter on the other, then what happens? One of the weights may fall out. And he's not going to notice, and you're going to end up weighing for him too little. So therefore, so that I'm explaining, that's why on the face of it, why don't you just do then? So you put a quarter litra and a half litra on one side of the scale, and the meat on the other side, and that's that. Why instead are you using the one on one side and the quarter on the other side? Instead, use the half and the quarter on one side, and then I'm explains because the quarter one might fall out, and the customer is not going to notice, and then it's going to come out that you only sold him a half a litra when he wanted three quarters. Next, if the customer wants to buy 10 litrin, 10 pounds, so now the customer can't say, weigh out for me 1 liter at a time, and each time you're going to tilt the scale a little bit. El shekel l'kol mevasachas. Instead, he weighs out the whole 10 liter at once, or v'noisin hechra echad l'kolon, and he gives one amount of tilt for all of them together, because as the Gemara had talked about yesterday, was that you only need to do even where they do this hachra, the tilt in the scale is primarily only when the person is buying 10 litra or more. So therefore, again, the idea is you do have to add a little bit in order to make sure that you're not underweighing for the customer, but in other words, that you're going to you're again EF shalatzamsim. It's impossible to be so precise to make sure that the scale is going to be so exactly balanced, and you're going to end up losing out. So therefore, so you're only required to do one hechra for the entire 10 litrin together, rather than doing it individually, and then every time you're going to be giving a little extra. Okay. Now, the next braisa is going to talk about the specifications when you're for scales. You're going to have so a scale is basically as follows: a balanced scale, like we had in those times. You have a thing in the middle where the horizontal beam of the scale. You have it hangs from it hangs from a place where it pivots, where it can swing in one direction or the other, a fulcrum or a pivot over there. That the Bryce over here is going to call that nephesh. Then you have the konne, which is the horizontal beam, and then from the beam there hang strings on both sides, which are called misna. And from each string you have a you have a you have the act you have the little container on the side over there, the little bowl on the side, which is where the actual weighing takes place. So turn it up on, and we learn in a braisa, nefesh moznayim, the pivot of the scale. Tluya ba'avir, shloisha tfachim, when it's hanging from the ceiling, there has to be a minimum of three tfachim from the ceiling until that pivot in order to allow the scale to swing freely. So if it's hanging from the ceiling, it has to be minimum three tfachim distant from the ceiling, and gvoya min ha'aretz, shloisha tfachim, and vice versa. If it's standing on the ground, you may instead have a scale, a balance scale that stands on a that stands on a pole that's on the ground. So then the same thing. It has to be at least three tefachim from the ground to allow it to swing freely. The kono misna shloshnei masa tefachim, the total length of the horizontal beam and of the strings that hold up the pans of the balance scale has to be 12 tefachim, meaning you have to have the horizontal beam has to be at least four and the strings are at least four. The idea being, in other words, because since we said, since we were talking about Hachra, since we were saying that now that's how the Rashbam learns that the 12 tefachim means four for the beam and four each for the strings. The Rambam learns differently, that it means that means that each of these things, that the beam itself has to be 12 tefachim, and the each of the strings has to be 12 tefachim. So the Rashbam is saying 12 tefachim altogether, and the Rambam is saying it means that each of these components has to be 12 tefachim. Anyway, the point being, as the Gemara is going to say soon on Amud Beis, that we're talking about again in a place where they do hachra, in a place where they make sure the scale tilts a little bit in favor of the seller, so you in favor of the buyer rather. So you want to make sure that if you have the scale is built too large or too small, then you're going to have the then you're going to it's going to take a larger or smaller amount of tilt in order to achieve the same amount to give him the certain amount extra that you're supposed to be giving him. And we want to make sure that it's not too that it's not unfair to the seller or unfair to the buyer. So therefore, by having these particular dimensions, you're going to make sure that the hachra comes out correct. Next, now that was as far as a scale that's used for weighing large, heavy things. For example, people use a scale. For example, let's say when they're selling scrap metal or whatever. So then you need those specifications that we just said. Next, shel tzamorim, scales that are used by sellers of wool or glass kalim, so those are a little bit lighter. So therefore, tluya ba'av shnei tefachim or gvoyim ha'aretz shnei tefachim. So then you only need two tefachim distant, two tefachim from the ceiling or two tefachim from the floor, depending whether it's standing on the floor or not. And the horizontal beam and the strings that hold up the pans, it's enough for them to be nine tefachim, because since these are things you're weighing with them, things that weigh less, so therefore, say so you don't need as you don't need the scale to be as large in order to have your hachra, in order to have your tilt of one tefach. Next, scales that belong to a storekeeper, a retail storekeeper, and a balabais, where they weigh out things in smaller quantities. So then it only needs to be hanging one tefach distant from the ceiling, because again, you're not weighing such heavy things that if it, that it's gonna that either side of the scale is going to go down so far. And if it's standing on the ground, then also it needs to be at least a tefach above the ground. Tefachim, the beam and the strings have to be six tefachim. Again, six tefachim altogether in according to the Rashbam, six tefachim each according to the Rambam. Vishal turtani. Now, what about then? You have scales that are used by a turtani, which is somebody who a person who sells gold and silver. So specifically, Rashbam says turtani means a gold means a smith, a goldsmith or silversmith. So he weighs things in small quantities, but it's very precious. So tluya ba'ava sholosh etzbois. So you need it to be, it only needs to be hanging three etzbois from the ceiling. Or gvoyim in ha'aretz sholosh etzbois. And if it's standing on the ground, it only needs to be three etzbois from the ground. Now three etzbois is less than a tefach. So the Rashbam says, when do you need the tilt of a tefach? Is when it comes to meat and fruit and things like that. When it comes to gold and silver, you're not going to be expected to do a achra of a tefach. That would be a huge amount. All you need is a tiny bit of achra, just so that you see that you're that just so you see it's a little bit in favor of the customer. So it only needs to be hanging with a clearance of three etzbois, v'yimin aretz shalosh etzbois, v'kano misne shala any yedea, as far as how long does the beam, the horizontal beam, have to be, and how long do these strings that hold up the pans have to be? Any idea? And Tana of the Bryce says, I don't know. So they can be whatever length you want. Okay. So the Gemara asks, "Ve'elahach kamaisa demai." So now in the Braisa, we had four different specifications, four different sets of measurements for scales. The second one, the second, third, and fourth one, it said who or what is using them. The second one, it said people who sell wool and glass. The third one, it said storekeepers and balabatim. And the fourth one, it said goldsmiths and silversmiths. So what about the first one? "Ve'elahach kamaisa demai." What about the first one? What's it being used for? Amar Papa digrumi. So the Papa says the first one that we described in the Braisa, the largest one that needs the largest amount of clearance and the largest size beam, etc., is the one that's being used for people who sell big chunks of metal, big chunks of scrap metal or whatever. So they have to have a much larger, scale and with much more clearance in order for that to in order to get the weighing done properly. Okay. So the Gemara points out, you should know the same specifications that we're saying as far as the Isser, that if the scales are not made according to these dimensions, then you're not allowed to weigh with them. The same dinim apply as far as truma vatara, that if you have a scale that's made according to different specifications, then it's also not makabel truma, because it's not considered a keli, because you can't weigh with it. So the Gemara says, "My kamash malon." Well, what is Rabbani Bar Patish telling us that? Tanena, we learn in a Mishnah, chut maznayim shochenveni v'shabalabatim tefach. We learn in a Mishnah in Kalim exactly that. That, for example, these strings of the for example, you have a scale that hangs from the ceiling. So the string of a scale that belongs to a storekeeper or a balabatim is mekabel truma only if it's a tefach. It's mekabel truma only if it's a tefach. And the same thing with the rest of the specifications. Meaning, in other words, that the point is, if the string is any longer than that, then beyond the tefach, it's not makabel truma. And the same thing as far as the rest of the details. So what is Rabbani Bar Patish is chiddush? And the answer is konumis nishalayt zrichalay the leitnan. The fact is, the Mishnah didn't say anything over there about the horizontal beam and the strings that are holding up the pans and everything. The Mishnah had only mentioned the string that's used to hang it from the ceiling. So now you should know, says Ramani Bapatish, that even though the Mishnah had only mentioned the string that you the rope that you use to hang it from the ceiling, in fact the same is true as far as all the other details. If you have, for example, let's take the first scale that we mentioned in the Braisa before, that was a scale for scrap metal dealers. If it's made, for example, with the horizontal beam less than 12 tefachim long, then you're not allowed to weigh with it, and therefore it's not makabel truma because it's not considered a keli. Tosfos points out another way of understanding it as well is. You have a concept in halacha called yad, as far as dinim of tumah v'tahara, called yad. We say, for example, let's say with fruit, not only is the fruit mekabel tumah, but also, for example, the stem that's attached to the fruit, when you use that stem to hold on to the fruit, or you have some other function that it does with it. So the same way, in other words, over here, when it comes to this, the string, if the rope that the scale is hanging from becomes tameh, then the entire scale becomes tameh. On the other hand, the parts that have a receptacle are going to be tameh anyway. They can become tameh on their own. But the point is that we have this concept of yad. So the point is that even though the So the point is that even if the string, even if the rope that's hanging from the ceiling is the right length, as it says in the Mishnah, but if the koneh and misneh, the other components of the scale, are not the right size, then nevertheless the scale is not going to be mekabel truma. You have a yad, you have something which helps the scale function that is the right size, and truma and something tomei touched it, but since the rest of the scale is the wrong size and the wrong dimensions, then therefore it's not mekabel truma because it's not a functional scale. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. Here's another braisa on the subject of weights and measures. Ein osin mishkolos loy shabbat. You're not allowed to make the weights themselves, the weights that you're going to have that we said before. For example, a liter, a quarter of a liter, a liter, a half a liter, and a quarter of a liter. You can't make them out of tin, veloshal avar, or lead, veloshal gisteron, or gisteron, which means Rashbam says a mixture of different kinds of metals that are smelted together. Veloshal shaman and machas, you can't make them out of any kind of metal in general, because metal over time wears down, and then you're gonna have a weight that says on it it's a litra, for example. And over time, it's going to wear down, and it's going to weigh less than a litra. So that's the Rashbam understands that way, and Rambam and other Rishonim. Tosfos says that actually it depends. Really, it depends what you're weighing with these weights. If you're using them to weigh things like meat and other fatty things like that, over time. So then, on the contrary, it's not because they wear down over time. On the contrary, it's because some of the fat and grease and whatever gets stuck to them, and over time, then they become heavier. And then again, you might use them to cheat with when you're buying from other people. As far as their Tosfos says, if you're using them to weigh gold and silver or whatever, you can make your weights out of metal then, because you do have to, based on a Gemara and Shabbos, Tosfos goes on to say, you have to keep them covered when not in use. You have to keep them covered in leather covers so that they don't wear down. But since you don't have fat and grease involved over here, then you're allowed to make them out of metal, Tosfos learns. Anyway, Tosfos also goes on to say, even as far as weights, as far as this business of keeping them wrapped up when not in use, would only apply to the small weights, the kinds that you use to measure out gold and silver, because a tiny difference in the weight is going to make a huge difference to the customer. On the other hand, when you're talking about weights that are used to weigh out scrap metal or whatever, it's not going to really be much of a difference. So then you don't necessarily need to keep them covered when not in use. Anyway. So aval oisa who shot sunma v'shal schuchis. You can make your weights out of stone or out of glass, because these kinds of things don't wear out over time, and therefore they don't weigh and they don't rust or whatever, and they don't wear down, and therefore they'll keep their weight. When you have a weight that says out of a litra, it'll remain a litra when it's made out of stone or out of glass. Next, Tana Rabbanan, Ein Osin HaMachak. Now you have like this. We said in the Mishnah that sometimes, and we talked about before, that sometimes when you're pouring grain or flour or whatever into a container, in some places the minhag was that after you pour it in and you have a heap over there on top, then you flatten out that heap. You use a stick to brush off the heap over there, and then you sell it to him, and then you sell the container flattened out like that, and that amount is going to be a sar, an afo, or whatever amount it is. So now, what kind of stick can you use for that purpose? Tana Rabbanan, Einos in a machak shel dlas. You can't make it out of a piece of a dried pumpkin of a dried pumpkin peel. Okay, sure, cow, because it's too light, and therefore the seller is going to end up losing out. He's going to end up, you're not going to have enough of the heap removed. And he's going to end up losing out and giving more than he's supposed to. Veloshal matches. On the other hand, you shouldn't make the stick that you're using to flatten it out of metal, because it's too heavy, and then it's going to dig in to the pile over there, into the heap, and then you're going to end up causing the customer a loss. Avalosei or shall zayis, but you can make it out of olive wood, shall egois or walnut wood, shall shikma or out of shikma wood, sycamore in English, shall ashkaroya, or out of boxwood. All of those are middle weight things, so those are good enough that they'll balance out between the seller and the buyer. They'll end up with, you'll have a tiny heap on top, but not too much. Next, Tana Rabbanan, Einos and it's a machak tzidei echad ov tzidei echad kotzer. You can't make this machak, the stick, for that purpose, that one side should be wider and the other side narrower, because then again, you're going to have one part of it is going to brush off too much of the material from one side, and the narrow side that Ashbam describes is going to go too far into the grain and take off too much, and the thick part is not going to go in so much. So again, what's going to happen is when you're buying, you're going to use the wide end, and when you're selling, you're going to use the narrow end, and therefore there's going to end up being fraud over here. So you have to use one that's the same width and the same thickness throughout. Also, lo yimchak b'vasachas. Also, you don't do the sweeping off all at once. Like you just do one quick motion to sweep off all the extra. Because then you're doing it's bad for the seller and good for the buyer, because you do it in one sweep like that. Then you're not really removing that much of the heap. You're still leaving a large amount of the heap, and therefore it's unfair to the seller. You also shouldn't do it a tiny little bit at a time. Where the Rashbam describes, let's say you're gonna do, let's say, a tefach of width, and then you're gonna pick it up, and then you're gonna put it down and do another tefach. So you can't do that either. Because that kind of thing is bad for the buyer and good for the seller, because then you're taking off too much. But Rashbam says also what it means is that so it could also mean, for example, you're going to do, let's say, half the keli and then the other half of the keli. In short, the idea is what you should do is it should be all at once, but it should be in a slow sweeping motion. So it should be all in a sweeping motion, but not picking up and putting down, but it also shouldn't be one quick sweep. So all of these things, in other words, you have to be careful to do that. You're not gonna be defrauding the buyer and giving him too little, but you're also not gonna be giving him too much, and you're gonna be losing out. And the Gemara points out Al Kulan Amar Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai about all these kinds of short business practices. Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai said, Oilim Oimar, Oilim Loy Oimar. Woe to me if I say it, woe to me if I don't say it. There's actually a Mishnah in Kalim that quotes Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai saying this in connection with certain dinim that it talks over there about certain kinds of Kalim that can be made in such a way that not the ones we were describing in the Gemara over here, but other ones can be made in such a way as to defraud people. So Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai says about all of them, woe to me if I say them, woe to me if not. Meaning, the Gemara explains, he's saying, if I mention these kinds of kalim that can be used to defraud, or hear these kinds of business practices that we just described, then people are going to learn that, you know what, hey, that sounds like a good idea, let me try that. I don't say it. Shema Yomer Aramoyin. The problem is the cheaters are going to say, "Ain't Tamar Chacham B'kiin Mamasi Edenu." The Tamar Chacham don't know what we're doing. Here we have all these short business practices and all these fraudulent kalim and whatever that. And they're going to think that the chachamim don't know what we're doing. And first of all, that would mean that they're going to think they can get away with it. Maharsha points out another thing is also they're going to say, yeah, you know why the Talmid Chacham are honest? Because they didn't think up these sharp ideas that we did. we're smart. We came up with these ideas, and you know what? If the chachamim knew of them, then they would do them as well. So the question is, in the end, what did Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai do? Did he end up teaching these halachas that involve these practices or these kalim or whatever, or did he not? And the answer is, Amr of Shmuel Yitzchak Amr, he most certainly did teach them, which is how we have them in the Mishnah and in the Braisa. Omehai Kro Amr, he based himself on the following pasuk. The pasuk says, Ki Yeshorim Darche Hashem, the ways of Hashem are straight, but Tzadikim Yelchubam, Tzadikim walk in them, Ufoshim Yikoshlubam, and the sinners stumble in them. So in other words, yes, we have to teach these halachas because we need to know them, and we need the cheaters need to know that the Chachamim are wise to what they're doing. Therefore some of them are going to say, hey, you know what, I never thought of this idea before, this is a good idea, let me try it for myself. That's their problem, that they're using ideas of Torah to do the wrong thing. To that extent, we Chachamim are not responsible for what they're doing. We obviously have to keep tabs on it and make sure they don't do it. But in other words, we can't help if they're going to learn these things and use them wrongly. In fact, Marshall adds also that what he's saying is we have to publicize them because it's true some people might use that information wrongly, but on the other hand, it also puts other people on the alert. You know, there are these practices and there are these kalim out there. Look out for them and be careful that you don't that you don't end up getting cheated by them. Okay. Next, the Gemara continues, Tanan Abanan, Lo Sasu Ovo Bamishpat. The Pasuk says, don't do injustice in don't do something unfair in judgment, Bamida Bamishkol of Amasura, in measure, in weight, and in Masura, which the Gemara is going to explain that Masura is liquid measures. So Bamida Zumudidis Karka. When it says Bamida, that means as far as measuring land. For example, a surveyor should not go and measure for one, let's say, for example, the Rashbam says two people bought a field in partnership, or for example, brothers divided up an inheritance, the surveyor shouldn't measure out for one of them in the summer and one in the winter using the same rope, because during the summertime, the rope shrinks because of the heat and because of the dryness, and during the winter, the rope is a little bit longer. Rashbam brings from Rabbeinu Hananel another point as well. During the winter time, the ground itself is a little smaller, and during the summertime, there are cracks in the ground because of the heat and the dryness, and therefore the ground itself is a little bit larger. The Rambam also follows the first explanation that we're talking about as far as the rope itself, that it, because it shrinks and expands in summer and in winter. And so the Rambam says, if, for example, you're measuring with iron chains that don't change in size in different seasons, then Gesunte Heit, you can measure in different seasons. And then there's no possibility of cheating. The Rambam also mentions, by the way, in this connection, that a surveyor has to be thoroughly well-versed in geometry so that he knows to be able to calculate the size and the area of the various plots of land. We're going to learn some dinim about those later on in our Masechta. So he has to be familiar with how to be able to calculate the size of an irregular piece of land and how to calculate, for example, we're going to talk about where there are hills and valleys and then basins of water and whatever in the middle of it. So he has to know all of that. So that's Bamida. Next, Bamishkol, when we say in weights, that means, among other things, Chalayatman Mishloisa Bamelach. He should not bury his weights in salt. Now, what would that do? So the Rashbam says that the problem is that you put them in salt. This is actually in Pirush Rashbam or Ikri. You put them in salt, then you're going to have that it makes them heavier. So you're going to have a weight which is supposed to be a pound, let's say, and now because you buried it in salt, now it absorbed some moisture from the air, and now it weighs a pound and a quarter, let's say, and then you're going to go use it to buy merchandise for a pound from somebody else, and he's going to end up giving you a pound and a quarter. Tosfos says that no, actually, it's the other way around, that the salt eats away at the weights, and therefore it causes, or at least takes moisture out of them, and therefore it makes them weigh less. Anyway, you're not allowed to do that. And bamasura, that means shalo yartiach. The word bamasura is in liquid measures, means you have to be careful not to make it foam up when you're pouring. So you have to pour it gently so you don't get a whole head of foam over there. And the kavachomer, and the Gemara points out a kavachomer in that uma mesura she echad mishloishin v'shisha belug. Mesura means in general liquid measures, but mesura is also the name of a particular measure which is 1/36 of a lug. Now a lug, depending which posik you ask, is somewhere between about 12 and 16 ounces. So 1/36 of that, you're talking about a third. You're talking about a third of an ounce or so, a third or a half an ounce approximately. And yet hikpida all of Torah, and yet the Torah is makpid not to let it foam up. Even though if you let it foam up, how much is the guy losing out anyway? The whole thing, even if he filled it up properly, is only going to be a third or a quarter of an ounce. Kavachomer, how much more so when it comes to larger measures, hin lahin v'chatzi hin, when you're measuring out for somebody a hin, which is 12 lug, or a half a hin, or shlishis a hin, or revias a hin, or a third or a quarter of a hin, a lug v'chatzi lug, or revias, or a lug, or half a lug, or a revias, And also the chatzi toymen, and also a half of a toymen. You also have in the middle over here, you're supposed to have toymen as well, which is Hagos Habach adds the word the toymen, which would be a measure of 1/8 of a 1/8 of a lug. So again, if a lug is approximately 12 ounces, according to the Rebbe from Chaim Noah, then a toymen would be about 1.5 ounces. The chatzi toymen, and half of that, the uchla, and an uchla, which is the smallest amount, as the Gemara is going to explain later on how much an uchla actually is. We'll talk about that. The Gemara is going to explain that on Sadik Amud Aleph. The Gemara is going to discuss that. So kavachoyma, when you're measuring out larger amounts like that, then you have to be extra careful not to allow it to foam up, because we see that even with a masura, which is smaller than all of the above, then the Torah is makbid that you shouldn't allow it to foam up. So we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, and we're going to continue with more of these dinim about honest weights and measures, and the dinim that you're not allowed to even have one in your house if it's underweight or whatever, and different dinim like that.